When we drove up this morning, started to come into the building, met by all those church members, preachers, God began to remind me where I came from. He brought me from nothing to something. When I was a young man, if I can get this out, the Lord willing, it's in me, it's got to come out. When I was a young man, I grew up in the poorest, the slummiest part of town. I mean, I was raised up, not among them, but with the thieves, the murderers, the drunkards, the harlots, the adulterers. And I not only learned about these things, but I learned to do them before I was ever a teenager. And out of that, when God found me, I was nothing. And I used to see those children who had moms and dads that would take them by the hand and take them places and do things with them, love them. And I never had that. I always wondered what it would be like. Have a real family, loving father. And when God saved me, He gave me many fathers, many mothers, many brothers and sisters. And I mean, I've been made to sit with some of the greatest people, eat with them, talk with them, fellowship with them. Been all over this country. And everywhere I've gone, I've stayed in some of the finest homes, ate the finest meals, enjoyed the finest scenery, had the greatest fellowship, and the greatest of all blessings. God went with me everywhere I've gone. He not only gave me, but He gave me more than I ever expected that was ever out there. And you'll have to remember what Krista and Charity sang. When you hear me preach and when you look at me, just remember He's still working on me. You don't agree with everything I say or preach or everything I do, you just be kind to me now. Don't be mean to me. Be kind. Bear with me. Just remember, I haven't gotten as far as you have perhaps, but He's still working on me. We do appreciate this church and all the churches that help our work that God has called us to do. Help us in support and prayers. For your concern about Sandra's dad, she's right. The good thing she told Brother Titus, because she knows when it comes time to preach, that's all I think about when it's time. You have your Bibles and would like to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to read several passages of Scripture before we get directly into the message. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 8. In Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned, or he journeyed in the land of promise, or traveled, as in a strange country. Now listen to this. Dwelling or living in tabernacles or tents. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him. That means that Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac all shared the same promise. The heirs with him of the same promise, for or because Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, more than one, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for a city which had more than one foundation, whose builder and maker was God. Now go with me to the book of John, chapter 14. In the book of John, chapter 14, we find Jesus now doing the speaking to another group of people other than what Abraham had heard from God. But in John 14, we find Jesus speaking unto his New Testament church that was in existence at that time during his own personal ministry. Now, folks, he didn't say this to everyone, but he was speaking to his kind of church. He speaks unto them in verse 1 and says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now listen very carefully. "In my Father's house," or where my Father dwells at this moment, "are." In other words, already. "In my Father's house are already many mansions." Isn't that what he said? They were already there, these many mansions, where his Father dwelt at that time. "If it were not so, I would have told you." All right, now listen to this from Jesus' own lips, talking to these folks. "I go to prepare a place for you." Not those many mansions that already were in existence in his Father's house. But speaking unto his church, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He promised them a special place. Just like Abraham was looking for a special place. God the Father and God the Son both have promised that there is a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God the Father, God the Son, and it has been prepared for the nation of Israel, those of the nation of Israel that God has chosen, and the Lord's kind of church. Look with me, if you will, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We've got to get started here. In Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation, chapter 3. Reading verse 12. Jesus is writing to the church in Philadelphia, in which he is well pleased, in which he has blessed tremendously. But listen to what he says to this church in Revelation 3 and verse 12. "Him that overcometh," in that church, "will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." He's not speaking to everyone. He's speaking here to his churches. But he's speaking about a city, concerning a city, a special city, a prepared city, Look at verse 9 of Revelation 3. In case I don't get back to it, I'll remind you of it at the close of the message, the Lord willing. Revelation 3, verse 9, Jesus said, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan." Now, that word synagogue has to do with an assembly. But this assembly was made up of the devil's or Satan's people. So he says, "I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." That's a promise that he made to his kind of church. That all of these assemblies in the world today and down through the ages that assemble themselves together but yet do not belong to Jesus Christ, they're going to find out who that church is, that assembly, that he is loved, and God's going to make them worship before their feet. In Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1 down through verse 11, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 11. John is looking on things that will take place after this time and this world comes to a cease or to a halt. Revelation 21, verse 1. John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' He said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, 'Come here, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away into the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." The Lord willing and with his help, I'd like to preach a message this morning entitled, "The House That Jesus Built." We hear often about the church that Jesus built. And yet the Bible tells us about the house that Jesus built. Not just his kind of a church, but when I use that word house, I'm talking about a home. I'm talking about the city of God, which will be the home or the house that Jesus built for his bride, his kind of a church. The first time I preached this message, I called it "The Church at Home." But I got to thinking that if we're not careful, we seem to be putting more emphasis on the church sometimes than we do the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like for us to consider the house that Jesus built. No real, true, faithful New Testament missionary Baptist church has ever been able to feel at home down here in this world. The reason being is because this earth and this world as we know it now is not our home. We're only passing through, we're making a journey through. Our home yet awaits our homecoming. We're on our way home, but we're not there yet. But beloved, when you begin to think about it, there are two most despised and hated groups of people in this world that ever has existed. One of them is those who make up or those who make up the nation of Israel, the Jews. They are one of the most hated and despised people of all the history of mankind. The second group that is most hated and despised by this world and the enemies of God are the churches Amen. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the Bible plainly declares that these two people will dwell at the side of God Amen. The Father and God the Son Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. Anything wrong with that? I don't find anything wrong with that, folks. When I talk about coming from nothing to something, I've got it all. I have it all by the grace of Almighty God. Several things I want to point out from the Word of God concerning the house that Jesus built, the home of the church, as well as those who make up the nation of Israel that are considered the wife of God. First of all, I want us to notice in Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2, its permanent dwelling place. I believe that it has a permanent dwelling place. I don't believe it's there yet, but it shall be. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared." Sounds to me like it's already built. Sounds to me like it's already been prepared. But it also sounds to me like it's not going to dwell in the heaven, but it's going to come down out of heaven. I take it that it shall dwell upon the earth. Take what you want to, but I believe it shall dwell upon the earth. That it shall have a permanent dwelling place. And in this great city of God is where God Himself and the Lamb shall rule and reign forever. This will be the headquarters. The permanent dwelling place comes it is not in heaven as we know it or think of it. You know, I used to take all these verses of Scripture and make reference to a place up there somewhere called heaven, when all of the time they were speaking about the city, the house that Jesus built. Don't they? It's true, folks, wherever Jesus and the Father and the Spirit of God is, that's where heaven will be. So whether we're on earth or in heaven, we all who are saved will be in a heavenly state. Amen. Be heaven on earth. This city has foundations, according to the Word of God, verse 14 of Revelation 21. "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations." Isn't that the kind of city that Abraham, the father of the Jews, was looking for? Is it not true that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you," speaking to His church? This is the only one the Bible speaks about. So it has foundations. In verse 12, the Bible says it has a wall, a great wall and high wall, and yet it has gates. Had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. So it sounds to me like this is a real place. This is a literal place, that it is a home or a house, or better yet, a city. I've lived in part of a city, but I've never lived in it all of it at one time and enjoyed it all. But that's the way God works. He doesn't fool around with these pitiful little things that men count so valuable, so important. A city, its permanent dwelling place, as far as I can see, is upon this earth. Secondly, I want you to notice its permanent residence. It not only has a permanent place to dwell, but it has some that will live there permanently. Revelation 21, verses 2 and 3. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, or the dwelling place of God, the house of God, is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This tells us that the Trinity, or the Godhead himself, will dwell permanently in that city. That God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be permanent residents in that great house, in that great city of God. Down here, coming down out of heaven and dwell with men. But there's someone else that's going to be a permanent resident in that house or that great city, as far as I can see from the Scriptures. Look with me in Revelation 21 and verse 12. Revelation 21 and verse 12, the Bible says that it had a wall great and high and had 12 gates. And at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, written on those 12 gates, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. If you were to see that city, surely everyone would recognize it as the city of God. There would be no question at all that God himself dwelt in that city. But if you wanted to know who else was dwelling in that city, All you have to do is read the names on the gates. Lots of times you drive down the road on mailboxes and it not only says Parvin Hall, but it says, and Sandra, and Derek. No question who lives there. Not only does the husband and the father, but it gives the names of the wives and the children. So we find that the Bible tells us that in that house that Jesus built, in that great city of God, the nation of Israel, known according to the Old Testament Scriptures as the wife of God, will dwell at his side. I don't find anything wrong with that, do you? But not only will the wife of God, the nation of Israel, that God has chosen unto himself, but in Revelation 21, verse 14, the Bible says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. All you have to do is read the names on the foundations and find out who else is there. All you have to do is find out that there are the names of the 12 true apostles of Jesus Christ that made up his first kind of the church that ever existed upon this earth, and you'll have no trouble finding out who's dwelling in that city. For she is to be the bride of Jesus Christ. As far as I can tell, these are the permanent residents of this great house, this city of God. Now, there are folks, our house is our house. When we ask you to come visit our house, that's what we mean, come visit. My wife and my son and I dwell in that house permanently. But any of you are welcome to come in and go out anytime you want to. You'll never hear me saying, come over here and live with us all the time. We do find that there are those who are permanent residents. And I believe that the Bible teaches, and I am convicted, that Jesus Christ is going to have a Baptist bride.
Amen.
Don't think it's going to be one of these universal things that people keep talking about and can never bring out and show us. I believe he's going to have a Baptist bride. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, let me read this to you very quickly. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says, husbands, now listen to this very carefully. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ. But now what's this next word? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Listen, the reason that word also is there is because Jesus Christ loves all of his family, the family of God. He loves all the kingdom of God. But he also loves his church in a different way than he loves his family in the kingdom. Now that's not hard to understand, is it, brethren? Those of you that are married, you love your families. You love your neighbors, many of them, but you don't love them like you do your wife. Also love the church, that he might present, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, in order that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God the Father has already chosen and promised or espoused unto his Son a chosen people within his people that will make up his bride. Chosen out of his own family. Others will have access to this city, but will not dwell there permanently. In Revelation 21, in verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Sounds to me like they're on the outside of that city. And kings of the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Though they may not live there, they have access to go in and out. Nothing wrong with that, is there? I welcome my brothers and sisters, my loved ones, come and go, visit in our house where we dwell. So, its permanent dwelling place, I believe, will be upon the earth. Some think it's going to be suspended between heaven and earth. I believe its permanent residence, and I can't find anybody else going to live there except the Godhead, the wife of God, the wife of Jesus Christ. Others will come in and go out. But now I want you to notice very quickly some things that won't be there. Now, a whole lot of things I could say about that. But in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, the Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, you know who he's talking about? He's talking about those two most despised and hated groups of people that ever lived upon the earth. He's not talking about all of his children here. He's talking about those in that city that's going to dwell there. I know that you may not particularly like that, and you can take it and apply it to all of God's children if you so desire, and I don't think it'll do injustice to the Scriptures, because I don't believe there's going to be anybody in heaven unhappy, do you? But he is talking particularly about those in that city. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Beloved, nobody has suffered in this world like the Jews and the churches of Jesus Christ. But in that house that Jesus built, God's going to wipe all those things away. Everything's going to be different from then on. We find that these are not going to be there. Those things that have pained and grieved the churches down through the ages. Revelation 21, verse 27, the Bible says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it, the city, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." I like that too. I tell you, it's a hard road to travel down here, isn't it? But it's all going to be over shortly. It's all going to be over shortly. The sun, the moon, the stars will not be needed anymore, according to Revelation 21, beginning in verse 23 and 24 and 25. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. There'll be none of these things. 22:5. Revelation 22 and verse 5. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Just about every one of us know what it is to live in an area that has to be well lighted. Many times we're afraid to turn out all the lights in our house and we leave some on for fear of those out there who would invade our homes and our privacies. But not so with the house that Jesus built, the city of God, the home that Christ has built and prepared for His church, the bride, as well as the wife of God. Even better than that, in Revelation 22 and verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse." There shall be no more curse. It shall be lifted, it shall be done away with. We'll never suffer. We'll never suffer the consequences of sin. We'll never have to go through all of those things that we've gone down through the years. Oh, there'll be no curse in that city. There'll be no temple in that city made with hands. Revelation 21, verse 22. John said, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Oh, how many times have you heard me say that Jesus Christ is everything we need? And when we reach that city, and when it comes down out of heaven built by God, we're going to see them face to face. He who is everything we've always needed. Never suffer need again, no matter what. But now very quickly I want you to notice what will be there, or what will be present. Revelation 22 and verse 1. John said, "And he showed me," now listen to this, "he showed me a pure river of water." We don't even know what that's like, do we? Why, you afraid to drink, afraid to go down to the river and dip your tongue to that water? Because you know it's not pure. We polluted and ruined our streams and our rivers and our lakes and our ponds by all of our foolishness and sins.
till we're afraid to drink the water.
But John said, he showed me a pure river of water. Stopped kind of short, didn't I, folks? But I wanted you to see that and then think of this. A pure river of water of life. A pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal. The water of life. The pure river of the water of life will be found in that city of God, the house that Jesus built. Revelation 22, verse 1 again. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Now listen to this. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This pure river of water of life finds its source in God the Father and God the Son. And it proceeds forth from them. That's ours. Those who shall dwell permanently in that city. Revelation 22 and verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. The throne of God and of the Lamb, the very place where God the Father and God the Son shall rule over all things forever and evermore. In that city, in that house, in that home that Abraham looked for, that Jesus promised his kind of churches. The throne of God. The Bible speaks of the northern parts of the heaven where God dwells and where he sits and rules and reigns over all things. And then the Bible tells us in the book of Endings, the book of Revelation, that he's coming down to dwell in that city. And there he shall take his place on the throne, and the Lamb shall take his place, and they shall rule and reign forever. Don't find anything wrong with that either, do you? Amen. Revelation 22 and verse 2. The Bible says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing or for the health of the nations. Last time we read of the tree of life is in the Garden of Eden, when God cast out the first man and the woman. And the garden, the tree of life, is not found upon the earth until the city of God, the house of Jesus built, comes down out of heaven, prepared by God. And there you find the tree of life once again for the health of the nation, everything we need. But I want you to see something else that's going to be in that city. It thrills my heart. In Revelation 21, beginning in verse 23, and I'm going to tell you what it is. All the glory of God is going to dwell in that city. Let's see if that is what it says. In verse 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Can you imagine both heaven and earth? That this city where the glory of God shall dwell forever will be so glorious that it will light the heavens and all the earth. At one time, forever and ever. Amen, they shall walk in the light of it. Amen. Now listen to this. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Verse 26. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. This tells me that into that city, that every king and all of the peoples that they may rule or reign over will bring their glory into the city. And God will receive all the glory and the honor in that great city. Now that's far beyond me, folks. But we'll see it. We'll experience that great and wonderful truth. No man will ever again try to steal God's thunder. No man, no group of men, no group of churches will ever again try to heap upon themselves the glory that belongs to God. God will have all the glory, and the glory of God will live and dwell in that city. Now, for just a few moments, the city and the home itself that Jesus built. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21, verses 10 through 21, that this city is crystal clear, that there's nothing hidden, there's no dark corners, no one can hide, nothing can be hidden. It's crystal clear and pure gold. Now that's beyond me right now, but I believe it just as the Bible speaks. I believe that this city will be crystal clear. I believe there's nothing hidden in it, according to Revelation 21 and verse 10, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. I believe it'll be a cube-shaped city, by the way the Word of God speaks. Maybe some don't. This city will not only be crystal clear, but it will be pure gold, verse 18. The building of the wall of it was as jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. What a city. What a house. What a home. The Bible tells us also that the foundations of this wall of the city are sprinkled with all of the most valuable and priceless gems that men have ever known anything about. Verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. He goes on to name them. Can you imagine a fellow down here on earth building a wall around his house and sprinkling it with 12 foundations with all kind of priceless gems? Why, he wouldn't have an army big enough to keep the world from invading that place. But these are the foundations around the city, sprinkled. What value, what price of this great house. The Bible says the gates are a pearl in verse 21 of Revelation 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every or each gate was of one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. The Bible goes on to tell us in verse 16 that it's just as long as it is wide and just as high as it is long and wide. I wish I had time to talk about that. Man, I get excited. A great city. A couple of years ago, Sandra and I left Paducah, Kentucky, heading toward California around the Los Angeles area. We drove over 1,100 miles the first day and reached Denver, Colorado. And I thought, man, oh man, what a trip! But the length of that city, the measure of that city, just one way down one side, is far, far longer or lengthier than that trip we made that first day. Can you imagine taking off from one end of that city and heading for the other, and it takes you over one whole day, 24 hours, to reach the other end if you don't even stop at all? And if my wife doesn't want to stop, I do. It would take us more than one day to just go from one end to the other. And that's just covering one end, one side.
If I were to make a left turn and head down to the breadth of it, I'd have to make more than another day's journey just going down the side. And then the same thing back and back again where we started for over 4 days just to get around the bottom edge of that city. If I wanted to head up, I'd have to do the same thing again and back. If I wanted to head back and go all the way around on the other side, the same thing. If I wanted to go back this way, it would be the same thing. It would take us over 16 days, maybe 20 or 25, to just cover the outside perimeter of that great house, that great city of God. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but you talk about coming out of nothing to something. I used to see those kids with those new shoes. I used to see those little fellas running around those new pants and shirts. And I thought, boy, I'd sure like to be like that. But I never imagined for one moment that the God of heaven that made me and placed me where he did would ever do what he's done and what he's promised to do for me. But I tell you what, I'm not sorry that God placed me in that old slummy town called Boxtown. I'm not sorry that God let me grow up the way I did, because I have learned to appreciate the great and marvelous things that God has done for me. I take nothing for granted. They are the gift of God by his marvelous, amazing grace through Jesus Christ as my Savior. But what makes this city so great is that God the Father and his Son, our Savior, our Lord, will be there forever. Remember in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9, where we read that Jesus said, "And I will make them of the synagogue of Satan come and worship before thy feet." You know who he's talking to, don't you? You say, "But Brother Hall, you mean God's going to make these folks worship the church?" Now, don't say anything. Let me tell you the truth about it. Is God going to make these folks come and worship the church? No, he didn't say that he's going to make them worship the church. He said he's going to make them worship before her feet.
Amen, brother.
In that city, by the throne of God, will be that despised nation called Israel. By the Lamb, the Son of God, will be the bride of Christ. And God has already said that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.